This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Straight Fire, Thursday, January 7th. I'm trying, folks, to get excited. I am trying my best to get excited, but it was a weird day, a sad day, Wednesday. I really want to talk sports, but it's going to take me a minute to get into it. You know, it felt like a historic day in America. And given the last 10 months that this country has seen, you know, the fact that yesterday was historic felt kind of like a big deal. And we had one of these podcasts, Rob G, back in, I think it was August, right around the time of the NBA players deciding, oh, you know what, we're not going to play this game in the bubble. I think that was August. I've lost track, folks, honestly. I just know it was before the NFL season. And a lot of crazy, insane shit went down, and it was tough to do a sports podcast. And I think it actually turned into a decent episode, if memory serves. But I could be wrong. Shucks, folks. We're past 100 episodes now. You think I can remember, like, episode 23? At any rate, it's just... Let me put it this way. I did not make any sports gambling wagers on Wednesday night. And that's the first time in a while I haven't done that. I got the college basketball algorithm from the guys. Of course, after two straight losing nights, I didn't make the bets. It goes 4-2. I didn't make the bets like an idiot. And I barely looked at, you know, the NBA games. I didn't even look at the lines beforehand. That's how crazy Wednesday was. And I think I got like maybe a handful of texts that were not related to the events in Washington, D.C. And I mean, I could open the show and talk, hey, Bradley Beal, he dropped 60. Oh my goodness. You know, trying to outdo Steph Curry's 62. Bradley Beal dropped 60 and the Wizards lost. And it's like, you know, the shrug emoji from the dude in The Last Dance. What's his, you know, the curly-haired guy in the locker room where he did the shrug. And that's kind of become a thing. And remember, Josiah Johnson came on our podcast recently. It did monster numbers. People love Josiah. He always uses shrug emoji guy. You know, like Bradley Beal dropped 60. Shrug. I mean, you know, terrorists are storming the U.S. Capitol and I'm supposed to care about Bradley Beal going for 60 in a loss. And I vowed, listen, I'm not going to make the podcast political. Other people have done that to varying degrees of success. I just don't want to go down that road, you know? I don't belong to a political party. I did vote. But when you see these armed vigilantes running amok in D.C., you know, my three-team NFL teaser this weekend that feels like a lock. It just doesn't feel like a big deal today, you know? I mean, we'll do the NFL picks tomorrow on the show, but I don't know. And folks, I'm 3,000 miles away from the happenings. Now, I grew up in the D.C. area, but I'm out here in L.A. and had a decent little day. Can I say that? You know? I dropped my car off this morning because I needed two new tires. And you'll like this. And it kind of segues into sports, which I'll get to eventually. So I took my car to Jiffy Lube because the check engine light was on. And of course I find out, hey, we don't do that. You got to go to the dealership. And of course I'm not going to the dealership because they charge an arm and a leg. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, my tire pressure are low. So the guy fills up the tire pressure and says, hey, you got your two back tires, you need to get that fixed like in the next couple weeks. I was like, oh, thanks for the heads up. So I dropped my car off Wednesday morning to get two new tires. And the guy calls me 30 minutes later. Hey, man, your front two tires are in rough shape too, and you probably need an alignment. And my first thought is, what the hell's going on here? Are you serious? You know? Now, if you guys have followed me on social media at all, you know that I went through a bad stretch out here in LA. We moved here 2016, and in the first 3 years, I had like six flat tires. Super random. I never was a flat tire kind of guy. I was a flat tire magnet out here. So I had actually developed a rapport with these local guys where I take my car to get, you know, tires. And I say to the guy, hey, man, I'm a loyal customer. Are you jerking me around here? Like, I mean, are you guys hurting for business in the pandemic? What the hell? I drop it off for two new tires in the back, and you tell me I need four and an alignment? What's the cost? He's like, no, really. I'm taking pictures of the tires. I'll show you. If you want to see them, you can come by. I was like, no. I take a deep breath. I'm like, I'm not going to get angry. Meanwhile, on the TV, you know, someone's shot in the Capitol, and they're getting taken out on a gurney, and the country's devolving. And I'm like, oh, Jason, perspective, perspective. I tell the guy, you know what? Do the four tires. Do the alignment. Just, you know, let me know what the cost is and I will come pick it up. He's like, okay, yeah. Go. So it went from like the neighborhood of 200 to like $650. There's a Wednesday for you in LA. And I thought about it and I'm like, listen, I deal with these people regularly. I need to be a good customer. And the number one thing for me, and this gets to where the sports deal is time. It's our most valuable resource, folks. And I don't have the time to call around to a bunch of tire shops and check the prices. Well, what about here? What if I drive 12 miles further here? Like, no. Time is valuable to me. And I'm going to go back in time a little bit here. And my wife doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can say this, although relatives listen and they may tell her. I'm a believer in my time is valuable. You get one life on this planet, right? Days, weeks, months, like it all goes by very quickly and you got to make the most of it. I got a lot of stuff I want to read. I got a lot of stuff I want to write. I got podcasts. I'm writing for FoxSports.com. I got the stuff at FS1. Like I got a lot of stuff and I don't think it's a valuable use of my time to call around to tire shops and gauge prices. I do the same thing going back to when we were in Pennsylvania. We bought a house out there. You could buy a house for cheap. You get a lot of yard. We got a pool, blah, blah, blah. And we had first-time homeowners, and I realized, oh, I've got to do a lot of stuff as a homeowner. And I know people are laughing at that, but as a young guy growing up, my brother and I, our parents, you know, they were immigrants who came to this country. They didn't exactly push us to do a lot of yard work. They tried, didn't totally take, and they were more like, hey, focus on school and also have fun, some fun with your friends. Well, they gave us an inch and we took a mile, and of course we had a lot of fun. And, you know, we did do some chores around the house and we got you know, we got some money for doing that. But by and large, we were not fixing sinks, clogged drains, toilets. Like, we weren't doing any of that. We didn't know. I don't have the skill set to do that. So when it comes to stuff around the house, like in our brand new house that we bought, not brand new, it was a previously owned house. And I don't have any of that. I don't have the skill set to do any of that. And then I found out on the weekend, you got to mow the grass and you got to rake leaves. Jason, did you know you got to trim the branches on the trees every year? Like, honestly, I had no clue that was something I had to do. And like, there's just all this stuff mounting. I'm like, man, listen, my time's too valuable. And of course, the wife and I get in arguments over this. Like, we own a house. You got to do that. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. We're going to farm a lot of it out. I did some of it. You know, I capitulated on some of it. But to me, time is very important. And this gets to the sports angle where an NFL quarterback sent out a tweet. And we had talked about this a little bit on, I think, Tuesday's show. The Houston Texans, they made a move in their front office. They hired Nick Caserio, I hope I'm saying that right, from the Patriots. They had previously made a run at him. The Patriots filed tampering charges. This time they made a run at him and he went. And after the hire was made official, Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, Doug Gottlieb, if you're listening, Deshaun Watson had a top four quarterback season by any metric you want. Gottlieb and I, of course, got into it on the Dan Patrick Show last week about Watson. He's like, well, Deshaun Watson's not winning games. I'm like, hello, it's 2021. Like, winning games is that we don't talk about that. That's quarterback wins is not a thing. That's like 1998 way of thinking or 2005, whatever. Deshaun Watson was phenomenal this year. And you know how you know this? Look at every quarterback stat and look at what happened. after week 17. There's audio of it. J.J. Watt walking off the field after the loss to the Titans, and J.J. Watt apologizing to Deshaun Watson for wasting a season. Time. Deshaun Watson, he's only 25, and I know you're thinking, oh, he's got a lot of time. Does he? Dan Marino, second year in the league, gets to the Super Bowl. He's lighting the NFL on fire with the Miami Dolphins. Got a lot of time to get back to many more Super Bowls. He's going to go to a lot. Dan Marino never made it back to the Super Bowl. Like, we think we have all this time, and it goes by so quick. I forget the movie. It might have been Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead, which is an awesome movie. Rob G's probably scratching his head or checking IMDb. What? Yeah, I'm telling you, Rob G, that's a great movie. And some guy in that movie near the end says, you know, human life is the length of a mustard burp. And I just busted up laughing. I don't know what a mustard burp is. Maybe it's a burp that smells like mustard, which sounds gross. But life is short, and Deshaun Watson's probably ticked off. So the Houston Texans hire this guy, Nick Cicero, from the Patriots. He was their director of player personnel for like over a decade. And I do wonder if the reason he sent this tweet, which was, I wrote it down here and I've now lost it. Of course I've lost it. Deshaun Watson's tweet, some things never change. Okay, what's he talking about? I don't know, because could he be talking about America at large? You know, maybe a lady friend of his? A family member who wronged him? I don't know. Could be anything. But given the timing of this hire, you have to wonder, is Deshaun Watson maybe a little upset? Why do I go that route, Jason? Why couldn't it be anything else? The Houston Texans hired a search firm, spent a lot of money, to come up with 5 GM candidates. Nick Cicero, who they hired, was not on the list. The search firm went all around, identified guys, did not identify this guy, and that guy got the job. What does that tell you? What's going on in Houston? This shadowy figure, Jack Easterby, who is a Patriots guy, who has wanted Cesario forever, who has the owner's ear, who rubbed out Bill O'Brien. That might have sounded bad. He was the one who got Bill O'Brien fired. Although Bill O'Brien pretty much fired himself because he's a buffoon. But when you really examine it, it's like, oh, it seems like Deshaun Watson is maybe pissed off. And it led me to think, and probably foolishly, man, wouldn't it be cool if Deshaun Watson, like, demanded a trade? We see this in the NBA all the time, right? Just because you're drafted to a franchise doesn't mean you have to spend your career there. Think about it this way. Time. It's like a theme here, folks. We're doing this like a theme. I didn't realize it, but now I'm saying it's a theme podcast. Time matters. Deshaun Watson, drafted by the Texans. He's been great. He had a season lost halfway through it. I think he was hurt. Or he was injured and missed the second half of the season. One of the two. He's only 25. You think, Jason, he's got a lot of time. I don't know that. This is, what, 2017? He was a rookie. Look at the guy drafted 2 spots before him. Pat Mahomes already has an MVP. Super Bowl MVP. He's the number one seed again. Patrick Mahomes motoring in KC. Deshaun Watson, been to the playoffs twice and is now regressing backwards. I think he's got every reason in the world to be ticked off. If I'm Deshaun, I think I said this on the podcast when it happened. The day they traded DeAndre Hopkins, I thought Deshaun Watson should go into the front office and say, trade my ass. I want out of here. What are you clowns doing? It makes no sense. Watson, 4,800 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. He had career highs in, let's see, quarterback rating, career high for Deshaun Watson, completion percentage, 70% completions. I mean, he was phenomenal this year. Threw more passes than he ever had in his career because they had no run game to speak of. I mean, Deshaun Watson was unbelievable, and he's buried on a team with garbage and a franchise going nowhere. And you know, you can talk all you want. Oh, Jason, he's 25, relax. Oh, okay. I'm just saying, imagine if other quarterbacks thought the way NBA players did. We would have a much more exciting, vibrant, on-the-move NFL. And I think that's how it should be because, I mean, listen, you've seen LeBron, you've seen Kevin Durant. Just because they're drafted to an organization, it doesn't mean they're wedded to them for life. It's not like you're getting married to them. They just drafted you. You check it out, you have fun, maybe they build around you, maybe they don't. And then you bounce. What's the big deal? I mean, we're going to look back, I think, in 20 years and laugh at how silly players were in the 80s and 90s who got drafted and then just stayed on their team forever and never won a title. Like, everybody has the right to try their best to win a title. And by their best, I mean, they should be, if they're superstars, demanding, hey, we need to go get this guy. Why aren't we doing this? Why didn't we make a play for this guy? Why didn't we try to trade for this guy? Like, that's how it should be. Deshaun Watson is a legit superstar. I know coaches are good. And I know that opens an ugly can of worms if you're constantly going to them and asking them. But to me, it's a little bit of a different can of worms if you're asking a guy like Steph Curry for input on, hey, what do you think we should do? Versus a guy like a James Harden. Because it's pretty clear both of them have had a lot of hand in what happens. And look at how one's worked out. And look at the other. Now, obviously, it's not an apples to apples because Curry, he didn't go tell them draft Klay Thompson. He didn't say, go draft Draymond Green. Let's turn him into a stretch five. Like, that did not happen. But Kevin Durant, who do you think recruited Kevin Durant to Golden State? Well, Curry was leading the charge with Draymond and Klay Thompson. This is, by the way, two-time MVP Curry. You know, that's the kind of leadership you want. I mean, if Deshaun Watson was ticked off that his buddy, DeAndre Hopkins, got traded, what does he do? Just sit there and deal with it? Oh, I'm going to go out and try my best. That's like, that's just not realistic anymore. You got to create your own path. You got to, like, you're fighting the clock. I don't know. Maybe I'm going rambling here, and I'm sure Houston Texans fans will DM me or send me tweets. Oh, Jason, you'd be too harsh. We could turn this thing around. Maybe Cesario can turn it around. We'll see. Maybe they go out, get Eric Bieniemy as a head coach, although I don't think that happens. And we laugh about this. Oh, Jason, you wanted Deshaun Watson to leave. Well, look, yeah, well, if they get Josh McDaniels, who's a Patriots guy, if they get Brian Daboll, who is with the Bills but a former Patriots guy, then you're looking at a quick turnaround. But Deshaun Watson, some things never changed. We'll see. Very interesting few weeks ahead for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. I'm just curious, Rob G. A lot of people online don't like my analogy where NBA players, yeah, they call the shots. They want to leave. They demand a trade. I'm fine with that. They don't think NFL players should think or act like that. I know the sports are a little different, obviously. Would you have any issue if Deshaun Watson demanded a trade?
Of course not. I would have zero issue if he decided to force a trade. And it's interesting to me that you brought up Deshaun Watson. I know this was a theme that you kind of worked out before the show, and Deshaun Watson fit it to a T. So kudos to you for that one. But Deshaun Watson is interesting because he is in many ways the anti-Tom Brady, where Tom Brady gets showered with love and he's told that he's the greatest there is, the greatest there was, the greatest ever will be because he wins. Deshaun Watson this season, you brought it up specifically, had one of the greatest statistical seasons an NFL quarterback has had in recent memory and his team sucked. And somehow, because the team wasn't any good, people forgot how good Deshaun Watson was. And I was critical of him as well on the podcast earlier in the season. You know, like at some point he's got to own some of this because they're not winning. And the more I thought about it, you know, reading, watching the games, listening to guys like you rant about it, he has been done a bigger disservice than any quarterback I could think of that didn't get like axed right away, like Josh Rosen, who never really got a shot, you know, in Arizona. you know, Baker Mayfield up until this season was getting a bad rap with all these different changeover, all the everything around him not working out. And Deshaun Watson, to his credit, has had arguably the worst coach front office combo because it was all the same guy.
That's fair.
Excuse me.
That's fair.
Of the last few years. And because of him and pretty much only him, they were at least respectable. So for him to do what he does for them as the face of the franchise, which is obviously dysfunctional, and even though they're not good, they were never a laughingstock like some of these other teams.
True.
Given what is going on in their front office and with their coaching situation. And it's because of him. So you would think, especially after the McNair said, we're going to consult Deshaun Watson on who our next coach is and all of our going forward, you know, decisions. And one of the things that was widely reported, I believe Adam Schefter was first on this, was that he really likes Eric Bieniemy.
Oh,
that's one guy Deshaun Watson really likes as a coaching candidate. He thinks his offense would fit his skills. He thinks that they'd be a good match. You know who the only NFL team that did not request an interview with Eric Bieniemy was?
Oh, boy.
The Houston Texans.
Oh, boy.
You brought it up with the front office.
Oh, no. We're definitely onto something here. Watson's going
to
be pissed.
You brought it up. They had a search firm to figure out GM candidates. And the guy that they hired wasn't on the list. And the only reason why he was even chosen, because he's tight with Easterby, the former chaplain turned power hungry front office. Yeah,
where is that? SI wrote an incredible takedown of this guy. He has like zero football history. He just is just like one of these dudes who got the owner's ear, worked his way up the ladder. He's a smooth talker, and he's got all the power in Houston. And you're right. Oh, man, I feel bad for Watson.
So it's just, I'm with you. I mean, as much as, like I said, I was critical of him earlier in the season, he deserves better than what they're doing for him and doing to him. And I would like to see him kind of take his career into his own hands, which in the NFL is really hard to do, but I'd love to see him do it because I think if anybody can, it's someone like him. Just like I was disappointed when Pat Mahomes kind of gave a little bit of that hometown discount to Kansas City. Because if there was ever a time...
500 million.
Well, I mean, because he didn't get the most he could have gotten. And every agent who was out there, you know, the big piece in The Athletic about it. You know, these guys, Watson, Mahomes... I think you're going to see Trevor Lawrence when he gets drafted and he's going to be able to have some power is there's only so many guys who can really flex that kind of power in football. Mm. Yeah. And I would have liked to see Pat Mahomes, you know, get a bigger guaranteed percentage of what he was going for. I would like to see Deshaun Watson, maybe not force a trade, but demand this is what we need to do to be successful. He even told them on Sunday, hey, we need to have more accountability. We need to have a guy who's going to put his foot in the ground and build a winning culture. And it's like they went one in one ear and right out the other. Like they don't care about what he thinks.
You almost wonder, he's a really nice guy. Everything you've read about Deshaun Watson, just a great human being. I wonder if he's just getting railroaded. Like he needs to put his foot down at some point. I mean, you look at Trevor Lawrence. I mean, listen, he's going to Jacksonville, which is a dumpster fire of a franchise and has been for, I don't know, a long time. I wish him luck. I can't see Trevor Lawrence being the kind of guy who's going to demand, I want out of here, give me a trade. You know, you kind of have to be an asshole sometimes. You have to. Listen, we're just file this away. We're a little early on it. I think if they get Daboll, he'll be happy because Daboll's so good. I don't think he'd be happy with McDaniels. McDaniel's very prickly. We've seen him and Brady go at it on the sidelines. Deshaun Watson has every right to be pissed off. All right, I'm going to quickly wrap up the podcast. I was going to go a little longer on this if they had won, but they didn't. And it's on the NBA front. The Golden State Warriors, are they good again? It seems so. Rob G and everyone else collectively were doing victory laps that the Warriors were down and they stink and Steph Curry, blah, 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 blah. And the Warriors pushed the Clippers on Wednesday night, nearly beat them at home. It was actually a pretty good game, and they were able to hang with Curry shooting 5 for 17. You know, that to me is impressive. Now, you're not going to win the game when you're shooting 8 for 30 on threes. But they played well. And the Warriors, Rob G, I don't think are going away. It's too early to dive deep on anything in the NBA, but three quick early January takeaways. One, the Warriors are not as bad as everybody thinks they are, okay? Draymond Green clearly makes this team smarter, tougher, even though he's basically not doing anything offensively except passing the ball. Screening matters. My second big takeaway is the Toronto Raptors stink. Now, I was, of course, a little early on their bad fortunes. They dropped to 1-6 with a loss in Phoenix. This team's just not good right now. They're not. They're not good at any facet of the game. They have good players. Van Vliet's a nice player. Kyle Lowry will probably get shipped to a contender. Pascal Siakam had a nice night against Phoenix, but overall he has been a disaster since Kawhi Leonard left. Maybe that's strong. He was good in the first year. He can't find anything going now. And the Phoenix Suns, by the way, are 6-2. And again, it's early, but in a season where you're playing 10 fewer games, and who knows how many fewer if COVID rears its ugly head, a 1-6 start for the Raptors is very, very bad in a very strong East. Phoenix 6-2. Chris Paul, he wins basketball games. It's what the guy does. He's a smart player. He's a winner. He's almost Jim Harbaugh-like in that he will automatically win and take you to the top, but ultimately doesn't win the big game and grates on you to the point that after a year or two, you've had enough. Go ask Blake Griffin in Lob City about Chris Paul. Go ask James Harden in Houston about Chris Paul. Like, the guy just wears on you, but he's a winner. And the third takeaway, and yes, my New York Knicks fans are waiting for me. They're clamoring, Jay, you got to hype the Knicks. Talk them up. Come on. The Knicks are playing well. I will say that. They're 5-3. They beat the Utah Jazz. But again, 5-3, what really to get excited about? I mean, I think they've won 4 straight. And, you know, some of this is Fugazi. Like, really, do you expect Julius Randle to score 30 points on 26 shots and the Knicks to win a ton of games? I mean, Austin Rivers, 5 of 7 from 3. Like, Austin Rivers is playing really well right now. Elfrid Payton. Come on, the guy cannot shoot, but he's playing real well. I'm going to say this, and it's gonna annoy some people. Tom Thibodeau, very, very good coach. We saw it in Chicago. I think Thibodeau got Minnesota to the playoffs. I could be wrong. He's a very good coach and gets the most out of his players, but this is what I want you to monitor, Knicks fans. He will grind them into dust. Okay, go back and look at those Jimmy Butler teams. And I talked about that, I think with Joy Taylor, maybe the podcast right around there. I'm worried about Jimmy Butler. He's off to a really rough start this year. He played a long, tough season last year. He was excellent in the finals. But those early Thibodeau years, man, I mean, he drives them hard in practice. He drives them hard in the game. They play big minutes, okay? 3 Knicks players played 40 or more minutes against the Jazz. Guys, it's the NBA. Nobody plays 40 minutes anymore. Just nobody does that. Seriously, it doesn't even happen. Bradley Beal scored 60 points in 38 minutes. Like, you're not going to see Joel Embiid sniff 40 minutes. Ben Simmons, these guys don't play 40 minutes. And Thibodeau is playing guys 40-plus on the reg. Just be careful about excitement, Knicks fans. And Rob G, I think we'll leave it. Do you have any NBA thoughts you want to talk about? Gordon Hayward going for a career-high 44?
No, I think that you kind of glossed over this with your Steph Curry. You're so excited about Steph Curry and everything he's doing.
Yeah, I got to defend him.
The big story, I believe, on Wednesday night was that Kawhi Leonard played his first back-to-back game since 2017.
Oh, no! Are you serious? Is that real?
That is, I believe, is real. I saw it on a StatMuse on Twitter.
No way. How did I miss that? Oh, my gosh.
So shout out to Kawhi.
So you know what this is about, right? This is about Montrezl Harrell calling out these Clippers. Oh, they do whatever they want. They play when they want. They play when they don't want. And I don't know if it's Ty Lue or the owner, but somebody got to Kawhi and was like, yo, We need you to suit up on a back-to-back. I know that's not your style. We'll probably make it up to you in strippers and blow, but we need you to go back-to-back.
Now, hey, that was not on the list, okay? It was the private jet. It was the equity stake, and it was a guaranteed sponsorship deal. No mention of strippers or cocaine.
So he played 37 minutes in a loss to the Spurs and then 35 in a win over Golden State. Wow. I mean, Kawhi might have to go on. Do they do the DL in the NBA? The IR after playing a back-to-back? By the way, did you see the Draymond Green foul on him?
I did.
Draymond took him down. And Draymond had to say, hey, I was trying to hold you up. You know, he got a flagrant. I am almost certain that this will, that one of the Morris twins will eventually get Draymond Green back. They back up one another. So, all right, we've rambled enough. Big show tomorrow with the NFL picks you guys have been waiting for. The lines have been pretty settled, not a lot of movement, but we will have NFL winners tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then.